This Tuesday is, of course, the 4th of July, when we Americans celebrate our independence from Great Britain in 1776. But in reality, we celebrate something much more than this. We celebrate the birth of our nation, a nation that was, as Abraham Lincoln once famously said, conceived in liberty. Liberty is a glorious thing, and since its founding, America has been a bright, shining light of liberty to the whole world. But if we're honest with ourselves, even the most patriotic American has to admit that our defense and practice of true liberty has not always been what it should have been. We can think of scores of examples of this failure. Of course, perhaps what first comes to mind is the terrible enslavement for over 67 years of so many black Americans. There was no liberty in that. But most people forget another form of abuse of liberty that has reared its ugly head since the beginning of our country to today. That is the abuse of religious liberty, particularly the religious liberty of Catholics. It wasn't so long ago that many Protestants in America questioned whether the loyalty of Catholics to the Pope would interfere with our loyalty to America. If you look back at it, you could sort of see, understand where some of this might have come from. We were founded 241 years ago, but up until 150 years ago, the Pope was the absolute sovereign of the Papal States, which included about a third of Italy. It's a big country. And even today, he's the sovereign of the Vatican City State. More important than that, the Pope commands the obedience before God of all Catholics worldwide. So we can sort of see where some of the suspicion came from. But there really was never a need to worry. We know that. Because the doctrine of our Catholic faith tells us that our obedience to the Pope is only related to papal teachings on matters of faith and morals, as well as the internal church matters, the discipline of the church, and the way we say Mass and things like this. But it doesn't extend to matters, particular matters of what we say are prudential judgments. So that while the Pope may teach that we have a moral obligation to care for the poor, and we must obey that, he has no authority to tell us that we have to use a particular program or we have to vote for a particular candidate to achieve that good of caring for the poor. He can propose particular solutions, and we should respectfully consider them, but Catholics are not bound to obey those particular solutions he comes up with. So it's almost impossible that there could ever be a conflict between our loyalties to America and to the Pope. Even so, this wasn't always understood by Protestant Americans, who've always formed the vast majority of our nation's population. So when immigrants from the Catholic countries of Europe immigrated to America, especially in the 1800s and the 1900s, they were often held in suspicion, not because they were immigrants or foreigners so much, as simply because they were Catholic. So much so that political movements like the Know-Nothings and also the Ku Klux Klan rose up to try to oppress Catholics. And laws like the so-called Blaine Laws tried to close Catholic schools in order to force Catholic children into the Protestant mainstream of public education because the public schools were essentially Protestant schools. And while Catholics fought these oppressive efforts and kept their Catholic identity and their schools, they were not unmoved by the oppression. And so you saw Catholics sending their kids to Catholic schools and going to Sunday Mass and praying the rosary, But then you also saw those same Catholics striving to be more American than other Americans, trying to be more American than George Washington or Betsy Ross, bending over backwards to show their loyalty to America. So much so that in 1960, when the Catholic John F. Kennedy ran for president, he felt obliged to go before a group of Protestant ministers in Texas, the Greater Houston Ministerial Association, and give a speech. And in that speech he said, and I quote, "I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate can tell the president, should he be a Catholic, how to vote, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope or any other ecclesiastical source," close quote. Now, whether he intended to or not, by these or other statements in that speech, Kennedy seemed to express a loyalty to America that was above his loyalty to his Catholic faith. And he left a clear impression that religion in general has no place in influencing the public policy and laws of our nation. Now, in his defense, I don't think he meant to do that. In fact, later in the speech, he stated, "But if there is a time," and again I'm quoting, "if there is a time should ever come when my office would require me to either violate my conscience or violate the national interest, then I would resign from office. Nor do I intend to disavow my views or my church in order to win the election," close quote. Now, I was named after lots of saints named John, but I was particularly named after Pope John the 23rd and President John Kennedy, actually John Kennedy, Senate at the time, because 1960 was when I was born, and Pope John was Pope and John Kennedy was the Catholic running for president. There are lots of Johns baptized Catholics that year. But I honestly am not a big fan of John Kennedy. But in this case, I simply think that he was trying to convince Protestant Americans that he, a loyal Catholic, was also a loyal American. He felt he had to do that. But he shouldn't have had to do that, because there is no opposition between being a faithful Catholic and a good American. First of all, the Constitution itself guarantees protection of the God-given right to religious liberty, protecting religions and individual believers in religion from any oppression whatsoever by the government. This reflected the founder's strongly held belief in the absolute importance of the necessity and the positive effect of religion to the success of the American experiment. As George Washington himself wrote in his farewell address, and again I quote, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that the national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle," close quote. In other words, Washington believed, as did so many at that time, that for the government to survive, this democratic republic to survive, we had to be a moral country. But they also believed that for us to be a moral country, we had to be a strongly religious country. And not only that, but it is also the moral doctrine of Catholicism itself that Catholics must be loyal to our countries. And to be obedient to our country's government and its just laws. Not a blind obedience, and never to be obedient to obviously objective, unjust, or immoral laws, but still it is the teaching of the Church that we must, in general, be law-abiding citizens. In other words, the Church says that you're a bad Catholic if you're a bad citizen. Finally, as I said earlier, it is the Catholic moral doctrine that we're free to make decisions according to our own individual consciences, subject only to the truths expressed in the doctrines and dogmas of our faith. Sadly, largely because of the historical push to be seen as loyal and mainstream Americans. For too many Catholics in America, their Catholicism has become more and more like an ethnicity or a culture, something that we sort of enjoy and sort of, you know, like about ourselves, but not a deeply held conviction and a passionate way of life. They take their fundamental values not from Christ and His church, but from either the popular American culture or, amazingly enough, from the decrees of government itself. So that if the Supreme Court says that abortion is okay, many Catholic Americans think, well, it must be okay. And if a president says it's time to approve so-called same-sex marriage, many Catholic Americans go along. But it cannot be that way. As Jesus warns us in today's gospel, he says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Think of that. If we're supposed to love Jesus more than we love our own parents, certainly we're supposed to love Jesus more than we love our own country's government. And certainly we must love Jesus more than the immoral or unjust values of the rising culture. Even if that means that we have to take up the suffering of the cross as we face persecution or oppression. Now, I love America, and I firmly believe that it is the greatest nation in the history of man, and I honor the great men and women who have sacrificed to make it that. But our loyalty to America is not a blind loyalty. First of all, it's not a loyalty to government officials, but to a government established by we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice and secure the blessings of liberty, as our Constitution says. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We the people, as individuals, make individual choices based on our individual moral values and religions. This is what our American government is about, or what it's supposed to be about. So that we as Catholics are good Americans when we think like Catholics and demand that our Catholic values, our understanding of right and wrong, good and evil, justice and oppression, when we demand that our Catholic values are respected and protected, never ever trying to impose those values on others, but always being free to propose them in public discourse, in debate, and in democratic elections, and even to codify them in the law when they are freely accepted by the majority of our fellow Americans. And when I say think like Catholics, I don't mean that all Catholics have to have the same policy solution to every problem or agree with every judgment we make. But as Catholics, every moral choice we make must always be rooted in and consistent with the principles and doctrines of our Catholic faith and morals, because they express the teachings of Jesus, who is the truth. Again, for example, we cannot say we're good Catholics if we deny that we are obliged in some way to care for the poor. That is a fundamental Catholic doctrine and principle that we have to accept, and it has to guide our choices. But you and I can disagree, and we can even disagree with the bishops or the Pope himself on the best way, practically speaking, to take care of the poor. Some may say give them money, some may say give them training, some may say give them jobs. Lots of possible solutions, and we can disagree on them, but we can't disagree that we have to do something to care for the poor. Not as good Catholics. And we can disagree, for example, again, on just how to protect people from unjust discrimination. But as Catholics, we can never say that it is unjust to hold that marriage can only be the union of one man with one woman. That's not unjust, that's natural. That's the natural law that is talked about in our Declaration of Independence. We cannot deny that because that's a fundamental Catholic principle as well. Sadly, in recent years, the old prejudices against Catholicism have crept back into the American ethos, as many demand that Catholics leave their morals and their Catholic morals and principles at home or in the pew, and never bring them into the public square or the voting booth. In fact, it's ironic that this demand is now also being made against the children of the Protestants who were questioning the loyalty of Catholics like John Kennedy 50 years ago. And there's more irony in that speech. Kennedy, in the same speech, warned that this would happen. He told the Protestant ministers, he said, quote, "Today I may be the victim, but tomorrow it may be you, until the whole fabric of our harmonious society is ripped at a time of great national peril." And so here we are today. By coercion, especially through regulation and court orders issued by unelected government officials, officials we the people did not choose to represent us, secularist ideologues increasingly try to force us to accept their values or face ridicule or ruinous fines or even imprisonment. From the Christian baker who's forced by a judge to make a cake for a so-called gay wedding or lose his business, to the Little Sisters of the Poor, who federal bureaucrats were threatening with millions of dollars in fines if they didn't provide insurance for abortion-inducing drugs or contraception for their employees. Sister stood here just a couple years ago and told us that they were afraid that we're going to have to close up and go back to France. To the unelected Supreme Court justices who, in the case called Obergefell, first overturned laws protecting traditional marriage, laws passed by elected senators and congressmen, men elected by we the people, and then those unelected judges scolded those elected representatives of the people because their purpose was, quote, to disparage and injure homosexuals. How ironic, again, that the unelected justice who wrote that opinion was another Catholic named Kennedy. Since our founding, some have questioned the loyalty of Catholics to our great nation, but they are wrong. There is no conflict between being a loyal Catholic and being a loyal American, between loving the Church and loving our country. As we now prepare to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in the sacrament of unity and communion with Christ, and so the sacrament of communion with each other, let us pray that we may always hold, profess, and live by the teachings of Jesus passed down to us by His Catholic Church. And as we approach the 241st anniversary of the founding of our great nation, let us pray that America may remain true to the values of our founders, including the God-given right to religious liberty. And as we leave here today, let us resolve to always love Christ more than anything else, and then strive as good and faithful Catholics to be good and loyal Americans by working with all Americans of goodwill to protect our nation from those who would deny the rights of we the people to govern ourselves according to the values that we the people hold most sacred. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Praise be Jesus Christ.